Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 62 of the MegaCast, the post-PAX podcast. And I'm joined tonight by Wilco and Joey. Josh, unfortunately, is off. He hasn't got the PAX pox or anything like that. Actually, surprisingly, I don't think really any of us have the PAX pox. I don't think so. I'm just losing my voice from yelling all weekend. But Josh has been stormed out of existence with a big storm raging over Mackay, and his power's out and all sorts of cool stuff. It's pretty hard to do a podcast when your power's completely out. So, but good evening, fellas. How are we all tonight?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm fairly sick. I literally am. So I'm on the medication to keep me going. So it's been a fun 24 hours. It's been good.
Oh, good. What we'll do is we'll jump straight into the good stuff. Wilco, what have you been up to for the past 7 days other than PAX?
Other than PAX, that's a good question because I can't even remember what happened before PAX. I've been playing some... Obviously, I flew down on Wednesday night, so I spent a fair chunk of time playing Stardew Valley on Switch, which is really good. I've been spent the last probably 7 days trying to install Destiny 2 on my PC. And since you heard from me last, I have built a second computer. So
cool.
You're now listening to me through the lovely tones brought to you by my second PC. And thank you, Chillaxon, for giving me 90% of that PC. So
cool.
Yeah, it's been good. That's what I've been up to, mainly besides PAX. So yeah.
Joe SF.
The Grim Dawn expansion came out like before the last podcast. It was like the start of this month. Playing a shitload of that, which tied me over quite well. Tied me over? Yeah, it did. It tied me over. I'm trying to think of a better way to phrase that, but it's not coming to me. It tied me over until PAX itself. I couldn't put it on. I'm not sure if it worked on my laptop, so I didn't get to take it down with me, but it's not like we spent much time in the room anyway. There's too many YouTubers running around.
Yeah, there was a lot of, man. I think there was a lot of walking around. I think Josh's phone said he walked over 50 kilometers or something, or 60 kilometers in the weekend or something like that.
A couple of days, yeah. It was
that's fucking insane.
And I walked further than he did, I can tell you now, because he went back to his room most nights, and I strolled the streets of Melbourne trying to find people to chat to.
You're Lurker.
You're a menace. You're a menace, Wilco. Just getting random people in the street being, hello, my name's fucking Wilco.
I got random hugs from people. Don't that was really, me. Really good stuff. It was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, bloody hell. Well, I guess we'll get into the PAX. So actually, I'll tell everyone what I've been doing, I guess, for the past 7 or 8 days. Other than PAX.
Weeks, we haven't,
it's been 2 weeks
even.
So I just realized I finished Golf Story since we talked last. So
that's
something else that happened as well. Yeah. Finished the game. Yeah. I did it.
No, we did speak about that, I'm pretty sure.
Did we? Maybe.
Yeah, because it was one of the only games you're allowed to nominate for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I've been playing lots of Tekken 7. Lots of Tekken 7, hey. Never just getting back on that train. No, probably not.
You're not the world champion, though. That got given to someone else down in PAX as well. So give me
I did try my hardest to enter a few Tekken tournaments while I was down there, but there was a little bit too much work to be done, and I didn't have enough time to sort of stand around for, 3 hours at a time. But yeah, it's something that I would definitely like to do next PAX experience. And speaking of PAX, we'll jump into that part. Where do you even start? Like, where do we even start?
At the beginning.
Try and retrace your steps. What was the first... Still that way. Like, what was the first thing you did when you went in there? You can go first, Matt.
The
go
first
on.
Thing I did
go,
was played Monster Hunter World. I walked through, because for those who don't know, when you get media badges, and we were lucky enough, thank you to everyone who put work in this year for USM, we were lucky enough to get media badges to go to PAX this year, which is great. So we got to go in about an hour before the general public. And what that meant was we had about an hour to walk around and have a look at everything before the masses of people sort of came through the doors, and you had to stand in line for, a long time to get anything. The first thing that I saw, I did a bit of a lap and I saw Monster Hunter World, and immediately just kind of
fell in love again.
Yeah, kind of shit myself a little bit. Played that, and I think I'm pretty excited is a bit of an understatement at this point. I played 15 minutes of it. I played a the medium mission. I didn't choose hard, but there was this really cool part through my playthrough, and it didn't happen for anyone else. This was unscripted because I was watching other people play through it. Was I was tracking this beast, and to be fair, the camera angles and stuff were a little bit, they can be a little bit touchy, especially in close quarter combat. If you're going in expecting a hack and slash game, you're going to get ruined because it's very methodical, very clunky, very weighted combat, and the tracking of the monster, it sort of feels a little bit redundant in some areas. You're just following footprints, which, you know, I understand that that's half the point.
Yeah,
is tracking.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah, tracking the beast, I can understand that, but
5 minutes, I reckon.
Yeah, it's more or less just following this green light to like a waypoint. Once you find the beast, the combat's amazing. I ended up fighting this massive monster for probably about 10 minutes of my 15-minute session. And then towards the end, it started to limp away because I damaged it and it ran back to its base. And its base was like this little mud hole, this little swamp. And it was sort of crouched in the water. As I approached it, I gave it a good, you know, gave it a good old smack on the behind. And it rose out of the water, and then all of a sudden the music just went insane. And I was like, "What? Why is the music suddenly, I'm about to kill this thing?" And this fucking massive thing just lurches out of the water beside me, and it goes blah, blah, blah. Or I just saw this other name flash up on the screen, and I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And this thing swung its mighty, whatever it was, might have gave me fucking swung its dick around and hit the monster and hit me, and I went flying, and then the big monster piss-tailed it off somewhere, and I didn't have to fight it, thank God. But ended up finishing off the smaller monster, and was very happy with the mission well done. But it just, like, that moment where that other monster sort of just came out of the water like a fucking demon, I shit myself. Big, you know, shivers ran down my spine. It was a really cool feeling. So I'm really, really looking forward to that game. Really looking forward to it. It's coming out in early 2018. And yeah, man, I can't wait. Some of the other things I played, I think, Joey, you'll go through it maybe a bit more in your talk, is we got to play a bit of Dragon Ball Z Fighters. Yeah. We did. That's also released in January of 2018. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that game as well. But something I want to talk about a bit more is the indie games. I did get to walk around the indie show floor for quite some time and got to chat to a few of the indie devs that I was, you know, had a keen eye for their games. First one I'd like to bring up is Damsel. We've brought it up before on the podcast. This is from the small Brisbane team. Damsel was at PAX again this year, and it looks, God, it's just looking amazing. It is a fast-paced, skill-driven platforming shooter where you play as the Damsel, and she's got like UV ray guns and stake shotguns and cool stuff like that. And it's just, it really speaks to me on a lot of levels. That the gameplay is great, the premise is awesome, the controls are really, really tight, and it's just a game that I'm really looking forward to. It should be released hopefully. Well, actually, the release date I'll be sort of releasing in a bit of an interview that I got to do with the Damsel guys. The second one is Party Crashers, a game that I wasn't really expecting too much of because, you know, Party Golf was something that I enjoyed playing, but I'm not a big golfing guy, you know what I mean? So I didn't really drag me in. Party Crashers, on the other hand, is from the lovely dudes at Giant Margarita. And, oh, man.
Wasn't even announced pre-show. It literally in the morning. Oh, actually, I got a message the night before saying, "Oh, by the way, here's a beta key of our new thing we're going to show tomorrow for the first time."
Yeah, and that okay. That game's got some chops, hey? That's
very Micro Machines vibe to it, and with the crazy physics that they use in Party Golf. And I've talked to all of them, Ian in particular, and he said that they're aiming for online multiplayer with this one. They've got the feedback loud. Yeah, they got the feedback loud and clear from Party Golf, and this game is more built around online than the previous one. So we'll expect that to be huge in about 9 months when it finally releases. So I'll have some hands-on stuff coming fairly soon on the website as well. There's probably maybe some YouTube stuff on Twitch as well.
Yeah, I'm very keen on that. Very, very keen on that. If they have on the online multiplayer, I'm going to be in that like a ton of shit, I think. Yeah. Also checked out a game called Necro Barista. This one is, I forget the name of the devs right now. Again, I'll be releasing a whole bunch of stuff with interviews and stuff on a bunch of these games. Necro Barista is like a visual novel-y type of game that I really, really like the art style of. I like my story-driven games, you know, and I'm a big fan of games like Danganronpa and stuff like that. So this one enticed me in quite a bit. I have a bit of a write-up on that coming up as well. I played a bunch of stuff. Hey, what else did I play? A few other indie games in there. I watched Josh play this game that was sort of, it looked a lot like Hearthstone, but yeah, it had like tower defense.
Oh, no. Different.
And like tower defense and stuff in it, which was really interesting as well. That game was pretty cool. I can't remember the name of it on here. No, it wasn't Hands of Fate 2. I know where that one was. This was called like Legion or something. But yeah. Anyway, look, I had a great time at PAX. Met a lot of cool people. Caught up with the 8-Bit Boys quite a bit, which was amazing. Met a whole bunch of rad people and met a few friends. And just spread the good word of USM.
Down the card table end as well. I saw pictures of.
Yeah. We learned how to play the DBZ trading card game and got a free pack of those. It's very Magic-esque, but probably not as in-depth as Magic, if that makes any sense.
Perfect sense.
Yeah, didn't mind it. I think that, you know, personally speaking, if I was looking for a trading card game experience, it would probably still be Magic for me because I really like that game. But DBZ Fighters was something that, you know, it pleasantly surprised me. I didn't think they would be able to craft such an in-depth game with what is fundamentally quite a non-in-depth anime.
Yeah.
I do also like that Krillin in that trading card game is quite literally just a blocker to take damage.
Shouldn't that be Yamcha?
It doesn't do anything else.
It should definitely be
Krillin just dies. That's all he does. Yeah, or Chiaotzu or anyone else. But yeah, so I had a lot of fun. PAX was amazing. Again, thank you to everyone who chatted to us. Thank you to everyone who we met. And hopefully we go again next year because I had a blast. And watch out for the articles coming out. Wilco, how was your PAX, man?
Oh, mine was huge. Mine's luckily started on the Thursday. I got in nice and early on Wednesday night. I had lunch with a lot of the AGPN boys on Thursday. We met up with the Reset boys and Inconsolables, Sammy Deej as well. Josh turned up at the end there as well. Shout out to those guys. That was really fun to catch up with them before the show even started. Had a chat to Nico King. Did you see Rainbow Reef on the floor, the little mobile app game?
Yeah, I did. Rainbow Reef looked awesome. It looked beautiful, actually.
I've done a little write-up on the website already for that. It's about 1,000 words because we had a sit-down with Nico outside. Those guys have been making games since they were 12, the three of them. The day after the youngest one turned 18, they founded Chaos Theory Games, and they're now working with AFK to make this game a reality, which is basically building a reef. It's a reef simulator, but they've got so much more ideas.
Hang on, 12 years old. I didn't know the fuck what I was doing when I was 12 years old. I wasn't making games, that's for sure.
I don't know how in-depth that they actually were, but they were sort of designing and making art and stuff like that, so... Nico loves the shaders, so he loves his colours and stuff. So I think he's been on that since he was 12. But look, they're trying to get some input from some money input and some help from some charity organisations. And I'm suggesting they might even look at educational places because it's a very educational game on the reef, but it's fun. It's got that simple free to play loop where you build stuff, you collect stuff, you build more stuff, you get rare stuff, you build more stuff, and you look after it, maintain it. So it was good, and had a great fun chatting with him for about half an hour down on the wharf. So that was good. Me and Josho ended up on the boat outside of the convention centre for Sea of Thieves party that night, where we got hands on with Sea of Thieves, which was wow. I enjoyed that game, but we've got concerns about it. But the gameplay itself in that was really good. We'll try to steer a ship with the four of us. It was good fun. So, what's going to keep the people going when it finally launches will be a question, but it needs a really big player base to hang around to keep it going. Other than that, I wandered the streets most of Thursday night, caught up with those 8-Bit boys that you were talking about before, and good fun catching up with them. I think I left about 2 o'clock in the morning, so that was good fun. But the main thing, PAX itself, I went to Sony and played Detroit Become Human. Absolutely phenomenal. It was, it blew me away. how much I was engrossed in that story. That was just that one mission from the release when they announced it about a year and a half ago. So you had to basically save the child, which I did somehow. But controls were a little bit hard to get used to, but once I got used to it, so that what slowed me down. Once I got used to it, it was really good. But I spent probably the first half of the mission fumbling around the thing before I finally worked it out. But look, from there, I had a bit of a talk with Travis. Let me get this right. And Jean Wong from Wargaming. So, and we also had a chat with Josh that works at Creative Assembly to do with Total War Arena as well. So had a good half an hour with them once we finally found out where to go. It was upstairs, and no one could tell us how to get upstairs in this convention center. But basically, Josh ran through, like, we pulled forces aside, security aside, and no one could tell us. We could see the people in the window, we just couldn't get there. So, but yeah, Josh, very, very passionate man about his history, and absolutely knows his stuff, and ran us through basically what they're doing with Total War Arena, and it looks pretty amazing. So, if you are a Creative Assembly fan, like the Total War games, this is just basically the battle modes with multiplayer, which is
cool.
So then we got obviously the two leads of for World of Tanks for community for Australia and Singapore is Travis and that. So we had a chat with them about World of Tanks and how the free-to-play system works and where they can improve on that. They're mentioning trying, obviously, getting the client into people's hands, especially in Australia, is the hardest thing. Once a 50 gig download, so they're considering like an actual physical release of the game, which might help things. So you'll actually buy like a $29 pack off the shelf, and you get $50 worth of in-game like goods, and actually have the client on a disc that you can install. But that's one of the things they're looking at. We talked about microtransactions with them because their games do survive on microtransactions. So they talked about how they sort of get around that and try and balance games to do with that. So
I think it's weird though. Just while we're talking about that, it's very interesting. The crowd they have for World of Tanks, it's an old crowd.
It is. That's what like
a lot of the players are old blokes, like 40, 50, 60 year old blokes who are history buffs as well.
Yeah.
And they've got some money. They don't mind. They'll spend fucking $20 on a tank.
Yeah, definitely.
That happens. Same as war planes, and I think they have the naval one as well.
I kind of want to check out World of Tanks, to be honest. I'm really highly considering, because, you know, I'm pretty old bloke these days.
I almost downloaded the server the other day, but I'm trying to download Destiny 2 at the moment, but I will be. It's going through a Halloween event for the first time in the game's 7-year history. They're doing a Halloween event. And World of Warships is going through a Halloween event as well at the moment. So I've got a bit of write-up that I'm just starting now on those two interviews.
Should we do a World of Tanks USM night very soon, maybe?
We should, because it's free to play and it's got Australian servers as of tomorrow. So
let's do it.
We'll organise that then for next week sometime. We'll get everyone to download the thing. And either that or World of Warships. Probably Tanks will be easier. There's like 130 million people in the world playing that game. We actually right at the end had one of the devs from Sweden come into the room.
Oh, cool.
We only had about 5 minutes with him as well. But, it's all about balance and stuff like that. So look forward to those two articles popping out soon. And if you want to play the game with us, download it, because it is good fun for free to play as well. So then my indie sort of thing happened. So Hands of Fate 2, I saw Projection, which is amazing, and I've got a write-up on the website about that. The Garden Between, which just got shown off on the Paris Games Week show floor in Sony's big press conference. Really good. Got a write-up of that. Paperful Panic from Ultimus is VR with Vive, and it's brilliant, and it handles really well, and I'll do a write-up on that as well fairly soon, so keep an eye out for that one. Elden, Path of the Forgotten, Dylan there, who's making that, he's a freak and he wants to come on our podcast. He's a lovely man, so keep an eye out for that little adventure game. Other than that, Rumu is probably my most highly anticipated game for the next couple of weeks, because it just looks cool, puzzle game, cute little vacuum cleaner that's sort of is self-aware.
Oh, that was that one. Yeah, that looks sweet. Yeah. That looks really good, actually.
So I'm in discussions with Ali from the studio at the moment to try and get her on the podcast, or at least on to the Super Hype Train in the next couple of weeks before the game releases. Pretty much everyone we talked to said that they will be coming on either one or both of our podcasts going forward. So
good stuff.
Sprike, Dave from Sprike, is very keen, and he's got that action fish platformer that's super speedrunny type.
Like a Super Meat Boy, so it looks really good. So
it's really good. Chromatic is a puzzle game co-op about colours and platforming and stuff like that. West of Loathing is so freaking funny. Stick figure.
Did he say he'd come on?
Yes, I just have to contact
him. That would be a comedy episode.
Yeah, he's got his own podcast as well, so I need to find that and script that in a couple weeks as well. Really? So it's been going for forever. Witch Thief was really good.
That's the other one I saw. Yeah, that was really, really good. I love Witch Thief. But I think
it's a bullet hole type game.
Yeah, I think the reason I didn't mention it is because I've mentioned it before. I got to chat with the guys from Witch Thief, and I'll have it right up in an interview coming out on that. I really like that game.
Graphics were beautiful. Very, very well done.
I've played it a few times. I'm lucky enough to have this sort of a review copy and a beta copy here on Steam. And it was interesting because I've played a little bit of it before. And I saw a guy struggling who was, while I was doing the interview, jumped on directly after him to say, because it was a new build. And I was told, hey, check it out. It's quite a bit cleaner. And they're right. They've really tightened the controls. It feels a lot cleaner. And proceeded to just blast through about two bosses in front of this bloke and then get up to this other harder boss. And this dude was just like, holy... how are you dodging that shit? There is a lot of stuff on the screen at once, and it feels really cool.
It's almost like a rhythm game.
It's interesting.
You got to get the rhythm right and move around to
Because it's like a 3D shmup, and you can tell that they thought about how to represent the bullets and the depth of where it is and that sort of thing. Because they've drawn between where the actual bullet is and the ground. There's a little band so that you can see where it is on the ground so you can dodge it properly.
100%. Yeah, I actually didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that when I was playing it, but now that you say that, that makes a whole lot of sense because you do know instantly.
You do know instantly
where those bullets are coming from and how far they are away. And there's a really good sense of depth perception to that game that you probably wouldn't get in most 3D shmups. So. Yeah, congrats to those guys.
Even like the big laser bolts, they tell really well as well, cause even though they don't have the bar underneath it, because it's like you've got the full length of the object moving towards you. So
actually, one of the arguable games of the year, Nier Automata, even had a bit of a problem with bullet depth and trying to dodge things in some of its boss battles. Yeah. So they've done an incredible job. But sorry, Wilco, you keep going, man. Off you go.
That's okay. I've only got about three or four more things and then I'll stop talking and rest my voice for a bit. But Hunt and Seek was really good. It's like a one screen. The way we played it was there was three people that were basically being hunted. The screen's completely black. There's one seeker. He's got a bit of color in front of him. The hunted people can light up the screen in their vicinity whenever they want, but obviously that kicks off their location. There is a full detailed map underneath this black screen. So you're just running anywhere on the screen. You've got doors. You've got bookshelves, you've got desks, you've got everything you've got to try and get around without running into and getting stuck while this thing tries to hunt you down. For four-player couch co-op, it's going to be amazing. I didn't remember whether it's online or not, which will be, if it is, it'll be even funnier still. But really good idea for a game, really, really fun to play. The biggest couple of things was we recorded Super Hype Train live in front of each other down on the promenade on Saturday, which was so much fun to actually sit there in the same room as other people and have the microphones there in front of you and actually just talk and have it recorded. So that was good fun. That episode's out live on the website now. And then obviously I was on stage on Saturday afternoon doing AGPM party mode, which was a ball of fun.
And you got fucking robbed, didn't you? Well, no, you didn't technically get robbed. What you did was picked up the wrong control and play for the wrong team, you fucking dumbass. Isn't that
right? Yeah, but...
and that was the one you won.
That was the one I won, Gravity, which I want to talk about Gravity as well. It's a really, really fun game. But I came come from behind victory, which was not acknowledged by the judges because it was the wrong color. And I specifically asked beforehand and no one told me to... said it'd be all fine, just mention what color you are at the start, which I did. On the replay, it's clearly there, but anyway, it all happened. So played some Mario Kart as well, which I didn't actually suck at either. So it was good. I enjoyed being up there and having a bit of fun and Yeah, just sort of
and being losing
up on that stage for the first time.
No, I'm joking, well, Booker. You did a good job.
No, I did, so shut up.
you did a good job.
The only other thing that I did was the big AGPN meetup on Saturday night at the Arcade Centre where we did King of PAX, which, once again, I actually didn't suck at either. So our very own Whip Flash got third, I think he did, tied with Pezzy Pez.
Hey, out of interest, have you fucking boys seen Whiplash dance at Just Dance?
No.
Holy shit. Is he good? He is a fucking fiend. He's mental. It's like he gets possessed and he just starts...
He's got women hanging around him all the time, so I understand.
He starts doing things. I'm like, dude, you can't do that in public. He's got his dick out and shit. It's fucking ridiculous. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch. It's great. If you haven't seen Whiplash Just Dance, just hit him up. I'm sure he'll show you. It's fucking phenomenal.
Definitely do it. Yeah. But yeah, congratulations to Andrew. He won the night, and then we had a bit of a sit down, drink and relax after that. But the whole, there was like 20 something AGPNers there, which was really good to see. So Joey even turned up, Josh even sucked. How did you get that score you got? He got 10,000 on the first in the balls and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, fucking skee ball, motherfucker. Skee ball king.
That's probably why.
He just lobs it in there, gets 10,000 points first go.
Yeah, because Ali from 8-Bit, I think, she was like sitting next to me. I was like, hey, what's this? Fluke. Clunk. Yeah!
Fuck off.
It was ridiculous. But yeah, look, shout out to all the AGPN guys out there. I'm trying to get you all on Facebook. If I haven't got you yet, hit me up. Because you're all a great bunch of guys, and we want to sort of do some people work together and, help each other out with what's going to happen in the future. So that'd be great. So that's my packs, I guess. I've probably missed one or two things, but look, that's the majority. Oh, I've got a scuff controller, and yeah, there we go. Cool.
I forgot two things, by the way. I managed to convince, hopefully, two other podcasts to, from now on, call Esports Espits.
Excellent. Do we know which two? Was one of them 8-bit?
Which might be my defining moment of my life, if it ever takes off. And I also went to the panel for microtransactions because we spoke about it a little bit during that segment for you, Wilco. And I got to say, they raised. They had a question time at the end, and I didn't stand up. I didn't raise my hand because I just didn't want to. I didn't want to do it. You know, I didn't want to.
It was a very pro microtransactions panel because of the industry they were in.
Yeah, well, it kind of was, but it kind of wasn't. There were three. It was one of the World of Tanks guys, and one guy from Zynga, and another guy who his studio created Crossy Road, which is a mobile game, and they make money off microtransactions. They did have a few interesting things to say about AAA games and the reasons why AAA games sometimes have microtransactions, and I never had thought about them that way before, but still, it was a very pro-heavy panel, like you said, and there wasn't much in terms of
they're all free to play, basically free to play games. So there was no AAA studio there. No one from a AAA studio would stand up in that panel.
And that's the problem. It's not that free games have microtransactions. It's that games you have to fucking pay for then jam more down your throat. They just obscure everything else in the game and hide and go out of the way to fucking hide good shit behind it.
Sometimes they do.
What was the points that they brought up, Perko?
The one point that they brought up that I can see an argument behind that. I didn't necessarily agree with it. Was that, you know, in 1990, if you wanted to buy Mega Man X2 or Mega Man X. Yeah. It was $80 for a Nintendo cartridge. And Mega Man X in those days would cost, you know, you're pulling numbers out of my ass, $1 million to make. These days, games cost $100 million to make and they still cost $80. So the price of games is going up to produce and developers and publishers need to get more money for their investment.
I also backed the market already. Can I do that right now?
Yeah, if you want to.
Is it about this market size?
That argument sucks because all the features they're adding in are most of the time not necessary.
Well, so, this is also coming from, and I mean, no disrespect, Joe, this is coming from a man who actively hates story in games.
Yeah, that, no, that's not the part that I'm talking about that's unnecessary. You've jumped way too far ahead in your conclusions. Oh, okay. That. So I can't believe you. I've already told you, so you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
All of this bullshit that they're adding in, first of all, especially the biggest AAA titles like Assassin's Creed, let's take that one for example, or Shadow of War.
Hmm.
The shit they're adding in behind microtransactions has nothing to do with the story. It's all extra shit or advancing the actual gameplay side of it, which is even more insulting to me. So to go back to my original point, the fact that they need to hide a lot of the shit or like add in features that aren't necessary in the first place. So particularly with like bigger games, like open world games, like it's all they're doing is ticking a shitload of boxes to make sure it'll sell to the most amount of people as possible. To be able to tick all those boxes, they need to hire a shitload more devs. So they're compounding their own problem by hiring more people, putting in more features into games that just don't need it. So to say has gone up is ridiculous when they're just adding in more shit that isn't there. Because especially
I think it's because in some cases, you're on the achievement part, not half these people don't even play most of the game. But
if you look at any game, 50% of the people don't get past half of the game. So they don't even see through all the shit that's been added in the first place. If they actually cut it down and made it a more concise thing, they would A, get more customer satisfaction, B, have much lower dev costs, and C, probably don't have to fucking jam microtransactions in it.
Yeah, then you look at games that, like, you know, for instance, the last time that a very, very small game was released that was about 6 or 7 hours long, that had a decent little story, small little ounce of action and stuff, was that, what was that game on PS4, that launch title that everyone fucking panned because it was only 6 or 7 hours long? They fucking shit on it. The Order?
Launch title, it was The Order, was a bit after launch.
Yeah, so like I actually tend to think, while I agree with you on some aspects of that, Joe, I actually tend to think that it's gamers, not you, but the general populace of gamers that expect more, or that they're doing some weird case study and they think they're expecting more.
And that's an awful example to use, because that Order 86, or it was, isn't more, it's less, because there's less game there to actually fucking play. So again, You're taking to the story again. It had more story, had no game. So the problem is that it has more flash, more visual. Like, it was touted as like a visually beautiful game, but there's no actual game there.
Yeah, it was
they focus on the wrong thing. The actual dev cost went away from the game itself and into the actual graphics and the story that was written and the lighting engine, all this other bullshit, not the actual game. It's only 6 hours long.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
There's a couple other things, though. Obviously, market size is so much bigger than back in the 90s for these people, so they're going to be selling so many more copies of these games anyway. They've got, some of them are talking about up to 50% of their market's now digital, so that's saving them a shit ton of money that they're making without having to pay to retailers or distribution or physical copies of anything. And we're talking about Visceral, that just got shut down, was talking about the fact that EA basically has to make their games have shared assets. So instead of one helicopter or one boat being different for each game in their stable, each one's the same, and then they iterate on that to make it look different. So they're saving massive costs there across all their games, and I can guarantee you places like Ubisoft and stuff like that do the same thing.
I'm not opposed to that. Yeah, sort of thing. That's smart.
That's smart money.
The cost that these people keep on coming up with this, but it costs so much more, and we're paying the same amount.
Exactly.
No, they're making more money from, because they're selling more. They're saving on costs in a lot of.
Look, I'm not defending. I'm saying that's an interesting argument, one that I don't necessarily agree with, but I think it's an interesting one.
But if two idiots who don't work in development can make a whole bunch of fucking arguments for 7 minutes as to why it's a bad reason, it's a fucking bad reason.
One of these guys was a developer, and he was the one that made the argument. However, in saying that he was a mobile games developer, I'm not giving him shit about his dev credence. I have no idea what it is. It's better than mine, so that's about all I give a shit about at this point. Yeah. But until we see an actual breakdown, on, like, let's say that, you know, for the next 5 years, a company releases the breakdown on all their dev costs and all their because marketing's got a big thing to do with it as well. Like, you look at something like GTA 5, had a marketing budget of like, what, 500 million or some shit? Like, I can't remember what it was.
Destiny,
something massive.
Destiny was touted at 500 million.
Yeah, Destiny's, that's right. So, you know, that's got to play into a part as well. And then you've got to take into account a whole bunch of other things like inflation rates and all sorts
of shit.
How's
the marketing campaign like on PUBG? I'm not... Is that good? Do they spend a lot of money on that? Or does that just kind of happen?
PUBG is also one of the ones that, you know, it's free to play. I know it's not. It's a free to play scheme, but you have to pay a little bit of money to buy in. It's not a $100 game up front, I don't think.
It just has hats.
No, it's like $40.
It's like a regular price game. Yeah. Marketing isn't necessary if you make a good game because people talk about it.
No, marketing. Yeah, marketing's not even necessary when you make a bad game sometimes, i.e. PUBG.
Exactly.
It's a fun game, but it's, you know, whatever. You know, I think it's just luck of the draw these days with how your game blows up. But I don't know. Can we stop talking about microtransactions now, please?
Yeah, that's I'm done. So I'll go to Game Party as well. Shout out to those guys, Finn and Hado. I'll get to talk with Hado again, which is great stuff.
Yeah, congratulations, boys. Go to Game is a fantastic website. And wish you all luck in the future. It is amazing. And thank you for that in the show.
It had all the industry people trying to get them together, which I think is what it's more about. So, got to chat to Wild, and I got to chat to Dibsy and Rowie and all these kind of big name streamers, which were far better than me, and got some tips and hints off them, which is always good. So.
Yeah, they're a bunch of good eggs. Joey, how is your PAX? You went there with one thing in mind, and I know that about halfway through the PAX, you were like, I can't even do the thing I wanted to fucking do.
I mean, I'd say, like, I'm doing two big fuck off articles, basically. One is about just all of the hardware that's actually on the floor. So, like, half of the booths are from manufacturers like AMD, not Intel, but AMD, NVIDIA, and a lot of retail as well.
Intel was part of a lot of the other booths, though.
Yeah.
And they had the free-to-play area down the back as well, which was...
So half of the floor was manufacturers.
The MSY stand had the hyper-Intel
on it, didn't it? Half of it was manufacturers.
Intel stickers, but...
Half of it was manufacturers, so you've got... And they're all trying to... But I'd say half of that was peripherals. So, you know, all those guys like Cooler Master, Thermaltake... even little brands like Rock Hat as well, they were all selling like the keyboards and mice and shit. And I actually bought a SteelSeries Dex mouse pad because I've been trying to find one of those for fucking ages. And that was $5 off, right? But it's
So let me get this right. You went to MSY to buy
Not MSY.
Stuff.
No.
And that didn't work.
Well, I went anywhere to buy anything, and you couldn't buy it. So, and when I say anything, I'm trying to... The other thing I was trying to write up was actually upgrade my PC. It's about 4 years old now.
Like a build your own PC at PAX sort of thing.
So, I mean, the best part was that I could go and see it, see the hardware I wanted, because there was a lot of pre-built gear. So Alienware, HP, Acer, all those big brands, they had pre-built machines with a variety of configurations, different video cards, different processors, whatever. So I could see a couple of builds that were similar to what I wanted, working with a game. And there was speaking of PUBG again, like 12 stands had several computers running PUBG, and they were all like live on the internet and everything. So Linksys, who we missed out on an opportunity to interview those guys on Thursday because we couldn't get there in time, but Matt and I, that is... I wanted to interview those guys because they did the networking for PAX this year. Last year, the 3G was unavailable in the building. They had Wi-Fi available for like PAX guests, PAX staff and presenters and shit. Just couldn't fucking use that. Like media had their own little subnet, but it just didn't work. It's all fucking useless. But this year, 3G was good inside the building, or much better. Same amount of people, but it was usable.
Yeah, 4G was terrible. You couldn't use that, we found. But as soon as we turned our phones back to 3G, it was perfectly fine.
But all of the stands had active network connections. And, like, you know, I was watching, like, Logitech had local League of Legends games. But basically every booth had someone streaming or someone playing something online. That's like, you know, there's at every second booth, there's five PCs. And there was,
I think I did. Hang on, let me do a real quick count. There was like 25 hardware boosts. That's not including all the actual games that, you know, some of those require internet connections as well. So I don't know what kind of fucking black magic the Linksys guys pulled, but they fucking hit the nail on the head with this one. And that's just setting PAX up itself, because they've nailed like a 3-year contract to do the networking at PAX alone. Because they're also promoting a new router that they're releasing for gamers. So maybe it's worth, I don't know, maybe it's worth looking at. Maybe. If they can make a whole convention center work that well. Geez, what else did I do? So, yeah, I was focusing on just doing a roundup of all the hardware at PAX. Going through all those booths was actually really good, because, again, I could see hardware that I liked, wanted, working in the field. But also, there's fucking cool custom cases, like Thermaltake and AMD, funnily enough, even though they're not like a case maker or anything. But...
Now, I tried to talk you into some pretty colours in your case.
I'm just not into colourful things.
I was a little bit disappointed by that.
Pretty colours in your case and having a fucking zombie SpongeBob is completely different.
There's cool colours, and then there's custom cases. Like, the AMD guys had, because they are partnered with Bethesda to promote Wolfenstein and Quake. That were kind of the big features of the AMD booth, for example. They had a giant Quake symbol, and, like, in the centre pillar. When I say giant, I mean, like, this... The center pillar in the queue was about as tall as a human being, and you know, the big curves on the outside.
Yeah, it was fucking cool.
In the top of the center pillar was the PC, and the rest of it was case. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was fucking cool.
I got the fucking best pictures of the SpongeBob case that Matt was talking about. It's like you press the eyes and they light up, but it's so creepy. Like they must have deliberately done this, but the lighting came from underneath that case. And it just looks so, like, you know, you put a torch under your face to make yourself look creepy in the middle of the night. Well, that's what this thing was doing the whole time. Yeah, it was great. But there was, like, Cooler Master had a couple of nice custom cases. There was a cool Joker-themed custom case at the MSY booth. So MSY being one of the retailers, they weren't actually selling anything on the floor, I don't think, which was weird. I went up to one of the girls and like, I want to buy some stuff. She's like, just go to the website. What? Why can't I buy something here? It's like, just go to the website. Because MSY are a part seller. And
that's hugely different to 2 years ago when I went first off, because they had PC case gear, actual booth. And even last year, I'm sure they had you actually had a big long lineup and had everything there. This is the first year they haven't done that.
Like MSY had a whole bunch of like fun shit to do. They had like a sim go-kart setup where you could sit in the go-kart, and it was a VR, you know, with a VR headset, but the go-kart tilted with the, you know, where you're turning and shit like that. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Even M-Wave was there a year or two ago.
Well, M-Wave
were there.
They were there in support of basically. So half of the manufacturers were there supporting, well, were there through MSY. The other half were there through M-Wave. There was probably, probably saw about 20 or 30 M-Wave guys just running around.
Okay.
And they would talk to customers and say, okay, they'd give them out, they were passing out flyers and say, yeah, go to the website, use this promo code, shit like that. I actually got an email back from one of the guys just before this podcast started, because I sent him a list of the parts I wanted. Because like half of the, you know, having been able to look at stuff on the floor, running games, I was like, okay, well, I want this, this, and this. I kind of decided on the Saturday night? Yeah. I wrote up a bit more of my article and then like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Because I wanted an ultra-wide monitor. Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, those monitors, they were schmick. They looked
Destiny 2
right, those monitors, eh?
The LG stand. So they had ultra-wide monitors. They had nothing else but ultra-wide monitors at the LG stand. I was like, well, fuck, this is a good time to test it. But they had the new G-Sync ultra-wides. So I was tossing up between an Intel NVIDIA or AMD build. And the cost made me go back with the AMD build. So to get the same sort of performance and, you know, have G-Sync just costs more, because G-Sync is a proprietary technology. the screens just cost more money. There's the manufacturers have to pay a license for every screen with G-Sync in it, where you don't have to do it with FreeSync. So being, money doesn't fucking grow on trees in my house or outside it for that matter. So I've run up a pretty budget-friendly list of parts that I wanted, sent it to this guy, and he's like, oh yeah, I sent him some ballpark figures. I kind of just searched around for it and like, I guess this is what I'm looking at. I don't want to pay something like this, maybe less. It's like, yeah, everything we've got, all these with the PAX promo codes, it's all cheaper. Go nuts. It's like, fucking sick. So I'm probably just going to buy a PC now.
Yeah, it's good.
And just, summarize my article with it. You should still go to PAX to look at hardware because it's all on display. It's, it's all been dimed but you should, if you want a new keyboard and mouse or something, for example, that's definitely the best place to go for it. Because they're all like out on displays, demo units. Mm. They are in gaming environments. If you've got comfy racing chairs.
That whole Razer booth.
Oh, yeah.
It's just choppers with Razer gear that you can just test out. So.
You can't hear how loud their fucking keyboards are, though, because there's so much noise around you.
There's so much to have a look at. Even on just hardware alone, like the new 1070 Ti was announced at PAX Oz, which is really cool. I mean, that's another reason I went away from NVIDIA is because they have like such a bizarre lineup of cards. There's like the 10 series, so 1060, 1070, 1080, but then inside that, and then you have like three subgroups, or like, pricing is just doesn't make sense. And oh my god, like I'm going back a generation even in AMD. I'm gonna get a 580. An RX 580, which is not the current gen, but that's there's other reasons for that, just to do with the bang, the price margin with the Vega gear at the moment, which isn't worth it anyway. There's so much to summarize. I got like 2 pages of notes here to write up and put into an article.
Go through.
And there was also the overclocking thing that I didn't talk about, and the retro. Hardware stuff. There's like a little museum thing at the back away from the actual show floor, which is really cool. There's heaps of shit. There's
tons we haven't spoken about actually. Watch out for all our articles coming out, because there's going to be a whole bunch of content coming out over the next like week or two, because damn, PAX was rad.
It was. It's such a letdown not to be there right now, but anyway.
Although I've got to say, when I got home, I was pretty stoked to get home, not walking around all day.
Fuck. Having a comfy bed to sleep in, goddamn.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Airbnb.
That's why I splashed out, I had my little place. I was happy with my bed.
Yeah, thank you, Airbnb renter, for letting us rent your cement block beds. That was good fun.
Hey, at least I had Netflix.
It looked good.
Yes.
Hey, hold on.
Oh, fuck.
Hold on, you had pizza and burgers across the road from you.
Oh, look, food was fine.
We did.
Food was not the problem. I cooked bacon.
The food was great. Yeah, it was good. We watched Ajin, which is the most insane anime that I've seen in a long time. So, with crazy super granddad. Let's move into this.
This is the fucking news.
Man, why does it have to be so much news?
Supposed to be the quiet time of the year, to be honest. It's supposed to be, hey, games are just releasing.
Yeah.
Mm. Enjoy them.
Well,
there's a bit more, so we'll start with this one.
Might be one less game in China.
Yeah, we'll start with this. Apparently, China might be, and this just doesn't go for PUBG, that China might be trying to ban Battle Royale games. Mm.
Too violent. Too much political dissent.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to laugh.
Yeah, I don't really have a comment on that.
Australia gets lots of shit banned. So if we can't laugh at China getting a one category banned, then no one else can fucking laugh at us when we get South Park scenes banned, all right?
Well, there you go. So that might happen. Read into that how you want. There's a bunch of articles online. Read up on it. The developer of EVE Online has shut down a VR development studio that was trying to do VR in EVE Online, which is an interesting one.
They did VR, didn't they? That was what came with all the...
That was effectively the pilot, no pun intended, game for VR was EVE. So it's.
But they now shut that development studio down. Yeah.
So there's like 30 or 40 people who, who are now out of a job. But to be in the defense of VR and... EVE, the EVE
developer CCP.
It's hard to put spreadsheets in VR.
No, you'd be surprised, man. It's really easy to, like...
It's actually a good game from
it is. It's fucking sick. I've played it before.
The problem is that there isn't the user base at the moment, and they, you know, they've actively said, we think we got into it too soon. So they're shutting it down, but they're just not... They're not going to stop developing for VR. They're just going to keep it on the back burner sort of thing.
And I hate to say it, but the problem is with games like Eve is the buy-in now is too great. The learning curve is too steep, and it is a game, you know, I've had a couple of mates who are quite into Eve, and you do have spreadsheets over. If you want to get really into Eve, you have to be good at creating your own spreadsheets. Like you kind of do. Where you've got games like, that's what I was going to say. You've got games like Eve Valkyrie and stuff like that, that are a little bit easy to get into, a little bit more consumer friendly, and, do a little bit better, I would assume. Magic Leap has raised another $500 million. Series D funding.
Off the back of Eve shutting down their VR development, you've got this completely unknown quantity to the public. So Magic Leap, from what I can understand, with their limited fucking press released information, they are getting stupid amounts of money for something that no one knows anything
ridiculous.
About.
Ridiculous.
So this is like, it's almost as much as the funding for Oculus when it first came out. Well, before it was, before it was made into a product. So I think Magic Leap is going to be like a no physical controller required input for like your computer, but also controlling VR space and that's roughly what I think it is. But no one really knows. It's just not available to the public yet. But apparently there's going to be like some sort of early adopters rig. It's going to cost like $2,000 coming out in the next 3 months, maybe.
No, thank you.
It's supposed to revolutionize the way that you interact with your computer, but also VR, because you don't have to have those weird hand controls.
Yeah, so is the Kinect, and that's gone now.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's very true.
So is the Kinect. Revolutionize.
This isn't made by Microsoft, though.
Stop spying on me. Stop spying on me, Swan.
That's true. Quick question, Joe. Did you try any of the VR/AR products at the show?
No, I didn't have time. I remember trying the VR last year. There wasn't a dedicated VR setup like there was last year. At the HP Omen stand last year, they had, a big lineup with a Vive headset. There was a couple of, Acer? They had a TV screen showing off their VR AR headset. I don't think they had one to show though. Alienware and Dell are very much still focusing on AR VR.
Alienware had an AR one on display, didn't they?
They still had like the game that was out last year as well. So I mean, I think the content AR and VR has not stalled, but it's kind of like just hung up for a little while, which is probably what reflects what happened with the CCP, the EVE Online developers. They're just kind of reeling it back a little to see what happens with the actual market surrounding it.
It's because they still haven't resolved some of the core fundamentals, like how to move, motion sickness, all that sort of stuff. There's still problems in VR that they can't get around as of yet. Right. And until they do that, it's gonna be pretty rough. But
Paperful Panic that I played from one of the indie devs, Ultimus, it played really well, and I didn't get any kind of issue.
Yeah, that's good.
Except I punched the guy at the dev when I reached out. He was standing a little bit too close to me, and I hit the wall a couple of times. But it seemed to be really, really easy to control and flowed really well. It had like cartoony style graphics, which I guess helps with all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was really smooth. So
yeah, fair enough.
The vibe as well.
This is a bit of an interesting one. Nintendo expects the Switch to outsell the Wii U's lifetime title by next year. Now, that would mean that by the time Switch has been out for a year and a half, it will have outsold the Wii U's lifetime, which was only out for 3.5 years. So that's twice the sell rate. Now, for a console like the Wii U that is widely considered to be an epic failure, I just would have thought it would have already done so. Considering how much the Switch is selling.
The problem.
Yeah.
They only plan to build 12 million units, I think, in the first sort of 12 to 18 months, and now they've had to double that. So yeah, it's sort of one of those things. If they do more,
they're expecting more. A pretty hot holiday season, apparently.
Which I
believe. Yeah, I guess so. Oh, yeah. After playing Mario,
getting 10 out of 10.
So. Yeah, of course it would. I've played it. It's pretty good. It seems like a pretty good game.
Are you getting a Switch or
what? I want one, but you know, we'll see. I've got other more important things to spend money on at the moment, like moving and bills. De novo protected games are now being cracked within hours, not so much months anymore. So
that's pretty fucking outrageous.
De novo, piracy, man.
And it's becoming like, so it's been a problem especially since as recently as Sonic Mania, where people who are buying games are deriding the game because they're having performance problems surrounding stuff like Denuvo, specifically Denuvo, because it's making CPU calls to check if something's connected to the internet, see if it's pirated or not. It's just, it has become not worth it again. So now devs are unfortunately trying to save themselves money in the wrong way.
Yeah, it sucks, hey. It's just because
it would probably
people,
be better
people shouldn't pirate good games. People should actually support the people. Like,
That money that they're using on Denuvo would probably be better used on marketing. Which, you know, Sega doesn't really have to worry about because they got fucking shitloads of money anyway. But
yep.
I would say smaller devs probably use it on marketing.
Yeah, definitely. We'll only touch on this one reasonably quickly. NeoGAF has imploded. I'm sure. Look, if you want to read, this is almost too long to go into in this sort of news break. If you want to read about why NeoGAF has imploded, it's got to do with a whole bunch of sexual abuse allegations and a whole bunch of mods leaving and then sort of striking against the website and DDoS attacks and all sorts of stuff. There's tons of timelines available online. I actually recommend going and having a read because it's a conspiracy theory nut. It's really fucking cool to read about. It's not cool, you know, the allegations and stuff like that. But NeoGAF has effectively imploded.
It fell over and has come back online again, and another forum set up, which is now like it has like already 100,000 users after only being up for a couple of days. So people have just jumped ship.
Yeah.
So which I think is hilarious, because especially when it comes to a fucking self-righteous community like NeoGAF being pinned down by sexual allegations, that fucking makes me laugh. Oh, well, boy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
The irony is delicious.
Yeah. Yes, it's the pottle calling the kettle black. That's how you say it, I think. The pot calling the kettle. Anyway.
Exactly how you say it.
Total War Mortal Empires has been released, and Vermintide 2 has been announced in the same sort of vein, which is pretty damn cool.
I'm actually really keen for Vermintide 2. The first one's so underrated, or I would say underappreciated by the public, or even not even played. Like it came out in a year where there's so much good shit as well.
Yep. Yeah, rough, hey. Gabe is apparently worth $5.5 billion, and it's one of the most complained about issues with Steam in 2017, according to 230 developers.
So he's obviously in the top one. He's in the top 100, you know, wealthiest people on the planet, which is nuts. So he was only like $1.5 billion last year, I think. So, God.
We'll move into probably why very shortly. Because more games have been released on Steam this year so far than the entirety of 2016. And then I'm pretty sure there's also a stat that says more games have been released in the past 2 years than the entirety of Steam's lifetime before, or something like that as well.
2016 was more than all of the years previously. Yeah.
Combined, yeah. So that's probably why he's worth so much fucking money.
And then going back to that devs not happy thing, like the last year's I think Steam, who do the survey, or perhaps at like GDC, game developers convention and things like that, they do surveys to see, you know, obviously meter how the devs are reacting to what is effectively a monopoly. And before, I think last year it was about 30% of people, 30% of the devs surveyed, you know, weren't happy. Now it's like 59%. So they don't think that Steam they actively don't think that Steam are earning their cut, which is like 30%. So 30% of their sale goes straight into Steam's pocket.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
that's a lot of money.
The main thing I got from the indie devs on the floor was, yeah, look, we're releasing on Steam because we sort of have to, but it's just not that viable anymore because it's, you get buried unless you get really somehow get good reviews from lots of people straight up. It's very hard to get noticed on there. They just sort of do it as a bit of a yes and then move on to the other stores and try and market themselves around a bit more now.
Just out of curiosity, those devs, did any of them say they're going to be selling from their own website and that sort of thing? Did you hear that from them? Okay.
No, I didn't hear that. But yeah, that's probably... Even then, you sort of market that website. So that's the best way to probably do it because then they get all the...
One thing I want to notice on... not that either of you can answer, but I'm curious if you sell Steam keys on your own website, what happens to the money then? Do you still have to buy... I want to know how that works because Grim Dawn, for example, they just sell directly from their website, Steam keys and all that sort of thing. So it's still,
And just give a key. I think there has to be some kind of a processing fee. But see, Joy Margarita gave me the beta key for Party Crashers. I don't think that's cost them any money.
I don't know.
But
should ask them next time.
I'm going to get them on fairly soon anyway because he was telling me how they couldn't. They were selling basically keys on the show floor for Party Crashers, sort of. But they had to say, here's a beta key because we can't sell you the early access key because it's not early access yet. But it's exactly the same key. So there was just no way for them to physically do it. So that's why it's called a beta key, and it's exactly the same as the early access key. But Steam just doesn't do it any other way.
Spelunky 2 has been announced.
That came out of nowhere.
It's part of a whole heap of other things.
Did it really need a sequel? Because it's unlimited play anyway. it's randomized every time you fucking turn it on. But
do you want to know what needs a sequel? Because money.
I'm going to buy it. Don't get me wrong. The first game is fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's why I needed a sequel.
Don't get me wrong. I'll buy it. Buy the shit out of it.
And speaking of other game releases, Paris Games Week has happened, and there's a whole bunch of trailers and all sorts of shit come out of this thing. Man, there's been some shit.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So just quick stat. Where is it? It's 21 new trailers, 7 brand new games, 14 VR titles all got announced or shown at Paris Games Week overnight.
So get ready for 13 on-rail shooters and one that doesn't ever come out.
I'd probably like that.
Yeah.
But look, I'm extremely happy to see in the Gardens in Between get in there. That was really good for them, making it on the big stage like that. But Perko, do you want to talk about the Last of Us trailer?
I watched two trailers from this thing, and both of them were recommended to me by you, actually, Wilco. One was Sucker Punch's new title, which is Samurai, a new Samurai game. Which actually it doesn't look too bad. I got a very Tenchu vibe from it, and if it ends up being like Tenchu, I'm pretty cool. But the one comment I had...
Open world adventure, though.
Yeah, that's the one comment I had, is it open world? And then Wilco said, yeah, and I was like, fuck it, I'm out. I've got open world fatigue at this point. I don't know what I want. I just don't want any more games where I feel like...
You can do anything.
There's too much stuff to do. Yeah, I just want more. I would prefer more.
That's kind of the problem I have with Mario. I was playing it. Because Josh bought it for his Switch because it was obviously released on the first day of PAX.
Yeah, it was $58 at the Harvey Norman booth.
Ridiculous. It's worth going to PAX to buy games as well, it turns out, but not a fucking computer. Anyway, so Mario is now an open world game as well, which is I'm not sure why that had to happen, but it did.
Well, I mean, it's open world in the... Oh, I see it more as a Nintendo, like a Mario 64-esque world, but there's no limitation where you have to go through paintings anymore. It's they've done what they wanted to do with that game, and you know what I mean? There was a level select system, but I almost guarantee you that if the limitations of the cartridge weren't there, it probably would have been very much open world back then.
Mm.
I think they've just got the power to do it now. All that, it kind of irks me a little bit. I think it's a good game. I don't think it gets tens. But that's just, you know, I've only played the first world and a little bit of the second world. But I, you know, I'd be more keen to play Zelda. Like I could.
It's too easy though.
I've seen Zelda.
Like you, the problem, like the other problem I have with it is you're getting a reward for every little thing you do. Here you go. Here's your little golden star. Your moon. You jump out of that thing. You spun around in a circle. Here you go. Here's your moon. Like, why do they even put half of those things in? It just doesn't make any sense.
See, again, that's a perfect 10 to me. I should want to stay up all night, lose sleep playing. And I kind of played it for an hour and I was like, yeah, well, all right, well, this is a new Mario game. It's pretty cool, I guess. So I might get it. Like you know, like, yeah. I wasn't.
I'm not feeling terribly compelled to pick it, to go out and buy it.
I mean,
yeah, and that,
I originally was, and in the last week, I've pretty much gone, no, I bought SteamWorld Dig 2, Stardew Valley, Party Golf, and another indie title on the Switch with the money I was going to spend on Super Mario, and I'm extremely happy.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the original question. We'll probably we'll get a review on Mario eventually. I'll get Josh to do one. The two trailers. So yeah, I was really keen on the samurai game. Completely forget what it's called at the moment. It's like Ghosts of Sakatsuma or some shit. I can't remember.
It's anyway Sucker Punch. Yeah. So infamous and Sly Recruit.
Yep.
Sly Cooper.
And the Last of Us 2 trailer, which was
brutal.
Yeah, man. I cringed two or three times, I think. Especially during the clip your wings scene.
The axe to the head. And the axe is still in the head.
That clip her wings scene where they pin her down and
that was
viscerally break her arm with a hammer is.
And it's not just quick. It's they do it for, it goes for like five or more seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking rough, hey. It's getting.
So
yeah, I don't know, hey.
Press X to break arm. Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't actually play that part, Joey, so you'll love it even more. It's just that's FMV.
Mm. How exciting.
I don't know what the... Obviously, the tone is they've got to go pretty dark, but, yeah, that trailer shocked me for what I thought it would be, so... We'll see next year. We'll release it next year. Shadow of the Colossus,
yep.
The remake, is the 6th of February, so it's not far away at all.
Why haven't I shoot a fucking game to play on my PS4? Because buy me on Steam now.
Because they'll fucking release it on PC about 2 weeks later, mate. You'll be right. Apparently there's some Destiny 2 DLC with some endgame fixes and seasons, but yes. I really don't care. I'm already burnt out on this shit.
December, they will bring it out. So it's looking pretty good and all that kind of stuff. Seasons, rah rah rah. There was something I really wanted to bring up about it, but I've forgotten now, so we'll just move on. It's in the first 3 weeks of its release in the NDP figures, it's the top-selling game of the year.
I'm not surprised. It's out on fucking Destiny every platform, 2. NPC.
Mm-hmm. So Ghost Recon Wildlands was the top, being 6 months released for, and then finally Destiny 2 comes with a three-week sales cycle.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about it at all. Moving into listener feedback, if you want to ask us a question, head into the Discord, ask us in the podcast channel. If you'd like to ask us via email, then email us at megacast@ultrasupermega.com.au. First question comes in from Timbo Slice from the Discord. How did it feel to leave your USM buddies at home alone? Pretty good, man.
Yeah, I can't remember thinking about them at any stage during the whole weekend. It was great.
Get on a plane, go, man. Just
tell the old miso, say, do you realise that fucking Perko's miso bought him a ticket? Might. And then fucking be happy sleeping on the couch for 2 weeks. Good fun.
I'm pretty sure Stevie Jar's planning his trip for next year. Yeah. I think we've got questions here from Last Wave who's planning his trip for next year. So, Timbo, you need to plan now for next year.
I don't think it's worth going for three holidays as a punter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I recommend you don't do that.
But Friday, Saturday is all you really need to do as a punter.
Yeah, I think as a long weekend trip away, it's good to do for, you know, seeing new games that aren't out yet, like Dragon Ball Fighter Z and Monster Hunter World and stuff like that. You will have to line up for it. Well, if you wanted to play God of War, you didn't have to line up.
There was no lines.
It was fucking playable. No one lined up for that.
trailer. It wasn't playable.
It was a trailer. What?
Oh, well.
It was just a trailer.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It was a room with a trailer and a dude talking about it. That was it.
So, was it the same trailer? Did you go in?
No, I didn't go in because it was just a trailer. I said, no, thank you.
I can't fucking believe that shit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But look, the social side, which is like what I, in all my articles, I talk about 100% worth the price of admission on its own. So you're going down there, you're meeting up with all these people that, from around Australia that you usually game with, or you haven't even game with, maybe you just saw them on social media. Like all those AGPN guys, the amount of time we spent with them was priceless.
Yeah, what you need to do, man, is fly just down, take a Friday off, fly down Thursday night.
Yep.
Hit up PAX on Friday, Saturday, and then fly back Sunday night. Spend Sunday checking out Melbourne. Go and overlook at some things, you know.
Well, I didn't even do that. I flew back Sunday morning and spent half the weekend with my family anyway.
Yeah, you can do that shit.
So that was me being nice. So
yes. To be honest, man, it sucks that a lot of you guys couldn't come. It would have been good to see everyone and treat it like a big, big yearly sort of meetup. But, you know, hopefully one year we can all get down there and have a big one. It'll be good. It'll be good, Timbo. But,
if not, I would like to start planning the next AGPN Brisbane type of thing, and we meet up at Netherworld in February sometime, and we'll catch up then, or January. We'll sort out something for that. We'll try and do that a couple of times a year, and then have PAX as a big national one.
Agent 47 has asked, "How's that hangover, Perko?" Yeah, pretty good, man. It didn't really last too long, to be completely honest with you. I won't be doing that again next year. That's for damn true. Last Wave Agent has said, "Nice podcast, guys. Has a good feel to it. Just found it." Well, welcome, man. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't forget the lol. Yeah, that, forgot the lol. Just found it.
Oh, that means lots of love, doesn't it?
He has
lots
been of love. With the community for about a month or a couple months now.
So we've been a bit slack on podcasts lately, though, too. So, yeah, thank you, man. I hope you stick around for the long haul. Mr. Buttersocks has asked, "How goes the PAX POX?" I'm beginning to lose my voice, so I'm really trying to hurry this thing along because my voice is going south fucking quickly. Wilco, how are you feeling?
Pretty shit, to be honest. If it wasn't for the four tablets I have every 6 hours, I would be very, very
fucking... Bloody North Queensland. Can't handle a bit of fucking cold weather.
I had the PAX POX before I even went down there. I thought, oh, sweet, I've got it out of the way early.
And this isn't PAX POX. This is a voice strain from being a dickhead and yelling a lot. So, you know. Agent 47 has asked again, "There's an FMV game coming to PS4. Thoughts on the genre making a return?" Mate, if they're not boring as fuck games and don't look shit like Sega Saturn games, I'm all for it. As long as there's some fucking actual gameplay in there and I'm engrossed, I'm cool. Although they can be real cringe. Fuck, they can be cringy. God damn it.
We don't need it, to be honest. But
and how, we'll see how he's also asked, "How awesome was it meeting me?" Man, it was fucking sick meeting you. It was fucking great to finally meet you.
Nah,
I had a blast.
It was tiring, man. It was fucking very tiring.
You're a good egg. You're a good egg. If you're an egg, you'd be a poached egg because they're one of the good kinds. So
I remember talking.
He shadowed me. He shadowed me the whole time. So, poor guy.
I ran him into him on the Sunday. He's like, "Man, are you tired?" I was like, "No, I'm fine." And it's like, "Oh, my legs are fucked." And I was like, "No, I still feel all right." And like 2 hours later, I'm like, "Fuck my legs. What the fuck is going on?"
He cursed you. He touched you there and he sucked your leg energy out so he could go play more fucking Just Dance, and he gave you his leg fucking fatigue. That's what he did. He's a fucking witch.
Now we went around as super hype train to all the indie devs, so he literally followed all my appointments around, so he probably walked about 40 km in 2 days.
Yeah, good shit.
Cool guy.
It's Benny has asked, "Will there be USM shirts at PAX 2018 there was one at PAX 2017 there was a few of them. We were just the only ones wearing them. Yeah, man, hopefully if I ever pull my finger out and get those shirts up, there will be. Yes, I'll commit to it. Yes, there will be PAX, there will be USM shirts at PAX 2018.
By the way, good to meet you. It's Benny.
Yeah, fuck lovely, yeah, dude. Lovely, I love you. You're a good egg. You're another good egg. You'd be scrambled eggs because they're good too. Alan has asked, "Was the microtransactions panel pointless since there was no for and against debates? Might as well be called 'This is why we have four microtransactions.' Mate, I know for a fact that you were sitting fucking next to me during that panel, you cheeky little cunt. So you know as well as I do that it was pretty pointless. Yeah, it sucked that it was all pro and that there was no cons. And when the first person came up that actually asked a pointed question towards the end about gambling and problem gambling and forcing gambling onto kids, that they were like, oh, we're out of time. So look, I like I said, I think there were some decent arguments that I hadn't really heard before come out of it, but I don't think it was a very balanced panel.
That's what I think of it. Oh, I didn't hear that fart. Maybe you did. I don't know.
You might have shit yourself.
I heard it.
And the last wave agent has asked, runners or volleys, boots or loafers, what's the best PAX footwear? Mate, I was wearing a pair of fucking Air Jordan Nikes. They were sick. Oh, they really? Were sick. Kept my feet cushioned.
I had
walking
some
on
terrible air. Shoes, but I had to wear double socks to make them feel comfortable. So
I was just rocking
good fun.
Shitty flat Vans. Just fucking man up.
I'll tell you what, but I got to the back of the hotel and my feet smelled. Fuck my life. There was something. Yeah, it was a. Yeah, that was interesting, that smell. I'm not too sure how that exactly happened. Yeah, it was rough. I'm just trying to wipe that.
Mummy bacteria and a daddy bacteria like each other very much.
Fuck on my feet and then shit on them.
Yep.
It's rough. Thank you to everyone who asked us questions. If you want to be a part of this incredible questions and answers segment, then swing us some questions in the Discord, or like I said, email us. We'll jump through to looking forward to stuff. Wilco, what are you looking forward to over the next few days/weeks?
You've actually got
writing.
You have write different shit. Writing. You've got like PAX and Shadow of War in there. That's, they're already out, man.
Yeah, true that.
You're done.
Yeah, I didn't write that in there. That's copy and paste from like 5 weeks ago. Get used to it. I am looking forward to writing. I've got about 12 more pieces that I'm going to pump out over the next probably 5 to 6 days. Shit. Then getting into Destiny 2 on PC with the boys. Getting some PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds with the boys. World of Tanks with the boys.
Looking forward to the boys. Just looking forward to them boys.
Yeah, I missed the boys. But the other big thing I didn't even say, I somehow scammed a free copy of Need for Speed Payback from EA. Did you see the EA booth?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
the tiny dude. Easy to fucking miss. Believe. What happened?
Yeah, I walked past. So I said, I'm like, it's Electronic Arts. Wonder what... That's Electronic Arts, the publisher. Nah, it can't be. It can't. Must be like some university doing Electronic Arts.
Dude, the booth was smaller than the room I'm in right now. It's fucking not... It was not big, eh?
It was tiny. It was like a 2x2 square.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that we lined up that they were doing some like their beta program sign up, and I'm like, oh yeah, cool, we get to spin a wheel, win something, and I'm about to go up and I'm with Whip, and I say, I'm going to win that yo-yo. I bet 100% I'm winning that yo-yo on the table, and I spin the wheel, and it's come up with your choice. I'm like, oh, he's got, come with me, sir, come with me, and he's literally ushered me to the other side of the booth, which is like 2 steps away.
come with me, sir.
He's gone.
We're here.
He's gone now. Now, what you've won, sir, is. You've won any EA title on PC. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. So he's got Sims, Battlefront, Battlefield, and then he's got the new Battlefront 2. I said, oh, I can have new games, can I? He goes, yeah. I'll have Battlefront 2 then. And then I'm like halfway through writing it. He goes, type it into the computer with your email address. I'm like, okay. Oh, Need for Speed Payback's coming out. Can I have that? He goes, yeah, for sure. Just write that in instead. Okay, sweet. So then I won, and then Whip went up, spun the wheel, and won a yo-yo.
That's pretty sick.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Actually, Party Crashers, I'm going to install that game fairly soon and give that a good crack at home and do that. So there's a massive week coming up for me personally. And,
Joey, what are you looking forward to, man?
I've got to upload like a bajillion photos, speaking of articles and writing.
That's a lot. How many zeros is that?
A bajillion zeros.
Like 22 or some shit, I don't know.
It's a bajillion. So I've got to finish doing that sort of stuff as well. And now that I've gotten a response from the guys at M-Wave, I'll probably actually fucking build my rig. So that'll be nice. It'll be something I'll do before Chrissy. A little Christmas present myself. Game stuff? Fucking Dota 2 patch. We didn't talk about that yet.
No, we
damn,
haven't.
Dota 2 patch notes came out this morning. God. I read them before I went to bed.
You do that to the Dota 2 podcast later on. Okay?
We might talk about them next week when the whole team's back so we can put them all through it. Hey, Joe?
Shit. Oh, shit.
Oh, my throat's going for next week. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, my power's
Dota 2. Yeah, I might actually fucking play it. I haven't played it in a couple of months, actually. So
yeah, I'll get really excited about the patch notes and go, that'll be sick, and then not play it for another fucking 6 months.
No, I'll definitely play Dota 2 again. Because we have other Matt. I was thinking, Matt, that we should get other Matt and do a competitive gaming podcast, actually.
Yeah, we can do that. And would you call it an Esports podcast?
Call it the Super Esports.
Australian Esports.
Super Aussie Esports.
Did you open up your go-to game goodie bag, Perko? Did you realise what was in there?
Yeah, it's good shit.
It was the can of Coke and the Cheetos.
Yeah, I got some fucking Cheetos. The Cheetos, that's close. Yeah.
Sorry, Cheetos, yeah. Sorry, that was the project's... Esports.
The Project Esports.
Performance was enhancing drugs.
Performance enhancing drugs. That's good.
I guess I'm looking forward to playing some games. I was going to play a whole bunch of Tekken. My Fight Stick's doing well. I've got to replace the buttons on that motherfucker. But and I'm moving house real soon, so I'm moving in a few days. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be around next week, so I'll be in the middle of moving, driving up to Mackay, Mackie, and then maybe, hopefully, I'll be there the following week if my internet gets sorted out in time. If not, I'm going to be away for a little bit, so I'll leave the podcast in the very capable hands of you boys. And
Joey's hosting.
If you wanted to actually be online... When you get up there, you should fucking book that shit in now, dude. Like that. Not even kidding.
Well, I should have booked it in. I should have booked it in 20 days ago, actually, because it takes 30 days. So we'll see.
I'll be a just ruler.
I'll be tough but fair.
Fuck off. I'm scared about the coming weeks. Let's close it out, Wilco. Where can we catch you?
Wilco's Chill Zone on Twitch and Twitter and. Yeah, that'll about do Super Hype Train, follow that as well. We've got a heap of good content, indie dev stuff coming up fairly soon.
Joey, where can we catch you?
Send me an email like the dude from M-Wave did. Fuck yeah. Joey at ultrasupermega.com.au. Fuck nice. You for making it such a weird name, man.
Okay, fuck you. That's a fucking sick name.
Also Joe Dredd onto the Discord.
On the Disky Bisky. You can catch me at Super Mega Matthew on our Discord and on Twitter and all the socials and stuff like that. You can also catch us all at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. And thank you, everybody, for listening once again. We'll see you guys next week, and I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Test me for Jesus.
Serious.